Bring greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Glad to be back with you again this morning. Bring greetings to you all from the brethren and in Columbia. And just send their warmest regards. It's a real blessing to be with them, spend time with them. Real encouragement there. All seem to be doing really well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask that you would help us to be faithful to you, to bring glory to you. Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear your words this morning. Open our hearts to them. Help us to be faithful as we watch and wait for your return. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. When we were in Columbia this last weekend, we met with the twins' father. He's an evangelical, and he's just been observing his sons, and met with him a couple of times, and we just had a real good visit with him this time. We went into his house there, and he's an English professor in one of the colleges there in Columbia, and he just seems to be an honest man, and just seeing the way that the church is operating there, and he just is drawn to it, and he just seems to be pretty open to it. And we went to his living room, and he just had some questions. He said some things about the Bible that he just wanted to ask some questions about. He's gone to church, been evangelical all of his life, but he's just, the more he sees that there's just nothing there. And it's a real blessing. He asked a question concerning this in 1 John chapter 5. He said, let's just read this. Verse 16 will begin. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The question that he asked was, what is the sin leading unto death? What is the sin that leads unto death? And we talked about it a little bit, and I just want to kind of build off that. What is this sin that leads unto death? Our idea sometime of sin is we have this picture of just really good people and then really bad people. Just good people and then those sinners. I mean, and sometimes it seems that on the street, the more we're there, it just seems like they're reveling in their sinfulness. And that just kind of builds the wall up a little more of, well, there's good people and then there's those people that just live for themselves. We've presented it before about the people who are self-destructive, live in self-destructive lifestyles. We see that as just sin. And then we see people who live self-preserving lifestyles, and those people don't sin. Of course, we know that Jesus said it's neither one of those. It's those who will deny themselves and take up the cross and follow Him. So it's more than just that. We were talking and discussing that, and the idea came, or the thought came to me about in 1 Timothy. Let's turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We read there in 1 John where it says that the whole world lies under the influence of the evil one. That's what it means when we've all sinned. We're all under that bondage that of the evil one. It says it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. That's what Paul says. In the King James, it says, of whom I am chief. I'm the worst one. And we think of that and we think, well, Paul must have been a really, really bad man. But then we read in other places, whenever he was on trial, he talked to the judge that he was in front of, and the king, and said, I have lived my whole life with a clear conscience concerning the law and everyone else. He spoke to the Jewish people and he declared that I grew up under the feet of Gamaliel, and you know who I am. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, living a holy life. Paul didn't live like a sinner, like we think about. And yet, he said that I am the chief of sinners. I am the foremost. I'm the highest. I'm the lowest of the low, as far as sinners are concerned. But he didn't live a life of debauchery. He didn't live a bad life. The sin unto death. Certainly, the man that had lived the foremost of sinners got close to living, to reaching that sin unto death, didn't he? Let's turn again in Matthew, chapter 12, verse 31. Verse 30. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Any sin can be forgiven. Even speaking against the Son of Man. But the sin against the Spirit cannot be forgiven. What is this sin unto death? Paul went on to say there, in verse 16 of Timothy, it says, "Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as a foremost Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life." Paul told that, what was Paul's sin against God? He kept the law blamelessly. What was his sin that made him the chiefest of sinners? When he heard about the Lord, he fought against the church. He was fighting the church. He was fighting this spirit that Jesus was talking about, the blasphemy. He was fighting it. Did he blaspheme because he fought it for a while? No. Don't believe he did. He listened to it. He eventually heard it whenever it was made clear. But for a while, he fought it. That's why he was the chief of sinners. The mercy, the grace, the good things that God was trying to show him, he fought against it. That's what made him the chief of sinners. Jesus came to die for sinners. That's an acceptable saying that should be received by everyone. But Paul fought against that. He wasn't a drunkard. He didn't do drugs. He wasn't running around with the women. He wasn't doing all kinds of things like that. But he was fighting the church. He was fighting the spirit of the church. This sin unto death is not because we're weak sometimes. It's not because we fail sometimes. The sin unto death is when we make choices that we're going to forsake. We're going to blaspheme. We're going to turn against everything that we know is right. Not because we get confused and just fall. It's a choice that people make. Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 6. I know a lot of people have... This is one of the most troubling passages to people sometimes. They think, coupled with Hebrews chapter 10, they think because after they've become a Christian, they failed, or they sinned. And so they think, they feel this condemnation. They just think, oh, I can never even be forgiven because I've failed. Or maybe I fell back into what I used to be in. And so they just see themselves as hopelessly lost because of some of these verses. Let's read this. Verse 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of instruction without washing, about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Then it says, for the ground which drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Let's put all this together here. Those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come, and then have fallen away. What's this talking about? Is this talking about striving to follow the Lord and you stumble and you fall and you might even sin again? Is that what it's talking about? He goes on and says that the rain that falls on the ground, and the ground, instead of growing good things, produces thorns and briars. That's not just a one-time committing a sin or falling. What is it that God has rained upon us? Grace and mercy, peace, the good things of God that He has poured upon us. Patience, forgiveness, love, kindness, all of these good things that God has poured upon us. What should we be growing? What should we be growing when God has rained all those things upon us? We should be growing the same things. But if God rains all these good things upon us and we grow briars and thorns and all of this other stuff, that's what the falling away is all about. Paul was the chief of sinners. God was showing him mercy, and what was he doing? He was going into the church, finding these people that were teaching this thing, putting them in jail, hauling them off to be killed. What's the sin unto death? That when God shows you mercy, what do you produce out of that? What's the sin unto death? When God shows you forgiveness and you show no forgiveness and you show no mercy. It all fits right together. What God rains on you and you produce something different, you've fallen away from what He wanted you to do and turned it into something else. I got a call this week from a lady that was troubled. She said, I've just come back from meeting with the ministry, and she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. She said, I've been a part of this church. They're a real strict church. And she said, but they live all in a community. And I love the spirit of everyone just living together like this. And I love the lifestyle that's being produced by this. But she said, when I was in the world, I've got tattoos on my arm. I've got flowers and corals and different things. There's nothing bad, but it's just they're tattoos. And she said, they've told me that I have to wear long sleeves and I can never roll my sleeves up. She said, when I wash dishes, I always roll my sleeves up. I can't even go to somebody's house and wash dishes. She said, I don't know what to do. You know what the heart of that is? All the good lifestyle. You can have the lifestyle. We could build a community where everyone could just work together and be happy. But does that have the Spirit? Does that mean that's the Spirit of Christ? Not at all. You can have all of that and not have mercy, not have forgiveness. What is the heart of this? That someone comes from the world, comes into the church, and you've got to keep your sin from your past. You've got to make sure we don't see that because that offends us. Where's the mercy in that? Where is the forgiveness in that? There isn't any. These people live in these communes and they think that all is well because everyone just does the same thing as everyone else. There's no personal choice, daily choice, to give up myself. One of the things that this man in Colombia asked about, he asked about, or I'd mentioned something about tithing, and I said, I don't preach about tithing. We don't believe tithing is part of the system of the church. It's basically a business. I said, what we do is try to help each other. Acts, the Bible talks about, is they all had things common. And I told him about examples. About how that last week people just came together and had helped on Joanne's house. And just everybody sacrificed and came and helped together and worked together to work on her house. And then Marcus's house, or Marcus's barn. We went together and came together and just worked together. And that if someone has a need, we just take care of it because we choose to. We choose to because we want to. The rain that falls. What do we produce with the rain that falls? God just rains down goodness upon us. What are we producing with it? Selfishness? Our own thing? Or do we produce the fruit that He's given, that has been shown to us, that mercy? I think we're going to be surprised on the judgment day. All these people that never sinned a day in their life, like Paul said he did, never sinned a day in their life. And these words of Jesus are going to come back to us. Well, did you show mercy? People who have these churches that profess to have tasted of the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, and then can treat somebody that didn't win the eternal lottery to be born in a family like they were, and someone comes into them from the outside and they're a little bit different, and they've got scars in their life. There's permanent scars on them. And then these holy people that won God's lottery because they grew up in a Christian home and never faced those things, never sinned a day in their life, they never did anything wrong. They've been shown all this mercy and grace and kindness and goodness from God. And then someone with a little blemish comes along in them. And they just hold their nose for a while. But then after a while, they just say, "Even holding my nose, you stink too bad. Even holding our nose, you stink too bad. You're going to have to do something different. I just can't tolerate you. We just can't tolerate you not being like us. Just like us." What is the sin unto death? What is the sin unto death? It's when rain has fallen upon you and you use your briars and your thorns to keep people away from you because they're not holy enough for you. What grows out of you is not mercy and compassion and love and patience, but what grows out of you is a bunch of thorns to keep people away from you because you're too holy for them. What's falling away? Forgetting that you're the chief of sinners. Forgetting that Paul, in all of his holiness, was the king of the sinners. And instead of just building on that and making his thorns sharper and his briars sharper and the bramble thicker, he took that and turned it into compassion and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and patience and long-suffering, like the fruit of the Spirit talks about, instead of blaspheming it. And crucifying the one that didn't fit in. That's what it means when Jesus said, "What you've done to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." The least. These people that have come from hard places, battered, hard lives, never had the comforts. It's one of the things whenever I left the Mennonites, there was a man that had come out of the world. He was in jail whenever we first made contact with him. Had it hard all of his life. His mother had been married 4 or 5 times, just a bad man. The only time he got any attention from her is whenever she was screaming at him, chasing him with a belt. Men that just despised him being around. Shipping him off here, shipping him off there, just to get him away. When he was 13 years old, she sent him off to the grandma, clear across the country. Or sent him off to an aunt or an uncle. He spent some time there. First time he'd ever been around anything even resembling Christianity. He got a spanking there with someone who cared for him. And he wanted to change his life because he saw a little something there. His grandma went to pick him up in her camper. And the first night they stopped home, his grandma broke out the dope and gave it to him. He forgot all about that encounter with Christianity. 13 years old, his grandma teaching him how to smoke dope. His grandma teaching him how to do drugs. Went back into the world, wound up in jail. Heard about some people that actually lived, Mennonites, lived a holy life. Was drawn to it. Heard about us out here preaching. Moved out here to be a part of the Mennonites whenever I was with them. They couldn't figure him out. They couldn't understand him. They decided there was something wrong. So they excommunicated him. They asked me what was wrong with me. I said, I'll tell you one thing. This man that you've excommunicated. And I explained about his life. And I said, how was it with your life? How was it with your life? You grew up bouncing on your mama's knee, never one time even thinking that your father wouldn't come home or that he would come home drunk and beat you. Never entered your mind. Never had a questionable moment about your security. It's always there. And you've excommunicated this man. And I said, have you gone to see him? Have you gone to visit him in the last 30 days? You're going to excommunicate him. Have you even gone to talk to him? He'd quit coming to church. And so And I said, have you gone to see him? And they all hung their heads. The bishop said, just shook his head, no. The other man said, well, I went, saw him. And I said, you went and gave him his last check, his paycheck. You didn't go see him. You just made sure you got all the business cleaned up. The deacon, he was fixing all the business ends up, tying them all up. And the other man started crying. He said, I don't even know where he lives. And I said, you're going to excommunicate this man. Under these circumstances, where is room for some mercy and patience here? There was none. Nothing but briars. Amongst men who've never committed a lewd act in their life. Among men who've never done a thing wrong in their life. Full of briars, thorns, and stuff that is going to be burned. Paul was the chiefest of sinners. Persecuting the church. How many people in the times we've seen here that have come, been with us for a while, stumbled and fell, we try to pick them back up. But then after a while, they just make a decision. I'm turning against it. And we can show a list of just how that what they've been turned back over into, turned back to. Just seeing the spirit of how people change when they make this decision somewhere in their life and just can just completely turn against the truth. And we can see the paths that they walk into and they go into, the crazy things that they've gone into. That's one of the things that's been most evident to me. The most evident thing that we might have something, that we might have some truth. is just watching the people that have turned against it and where they wind up. These things, the good things that we've been given, if we don't reflect them again, we're just growing a bunch of stuff that's going to get burned. Sin unto death. It's not because you're weak. It's not because you're tempted. It's not because you struggle sometimes. It's not because you have doubts. It's because you're growing briars, thorns, and thistles. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Help us. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Help us reflect that, Father, in our lives. Help us remember from where you brought us, Lord. Help us to be like you and faithful to you until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
That